Okay, this hour, let's take your phone calls, questions, stories about your pets and your friends in the afterlife. And we'll do it with Christy Robinette when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Christy Robinette with us. We'll get to your calls as well as we talk about your pets. And what do you find, Christy, more people are interested in, the loss of a pet or the loss of a friend?
Probably the loss of a pet.
Really? I would think that too. That's in a strange way.
I think it's the unconditional love, you know, that we're given with our pets. And there's so many, you know, we fight with people. We don't necessarily fight with our pets. And there's just that, you know, simple love and that trust that our pets give us, that unconditional love. They don't judge us. They don't criticize us. They don't care if we got a promotion or if we're singing off key. They just love us, you know, for who we are.
Since you've been doing this, have you ever been at the bedside of somebody who has passed on?
Often, yeah.
What's that like?
It's actually very beautiful. I take the empathic side. You know, it's sad for what the family members are going through. You know, and whether it's a pet, and I've done it with pets, and I've gone to the side of a client who is crossing over, but to see their spirit leave and be reunited with their loved ones on the other side is an angel's and spirit guides. It's amazing.
Yeah, it truly is. Christy, let's take some calls. Let's go to Cassie, truck driving through Mojave, west of the Rockies. Hi, Cass, go ahead.
Hi, yeah. How you doing tonight?
Everything's good.
I had a question for Christy. Just give you a little rundown. I get these weird goosebumps on my left arm, and they're literally in the shape of a hand. And they just kind of randomly appear when I'm driving, when I'm alone, when I'm with people. But what I'm trying to figure out is, like, if it's somebody touching me, like, how can I figure out if it's somebody touching me and who it is and what they want? Like, how can I communicate that?
That's a great question. I actually think they show me that it's a male. So it's either a father or a grandfather energy that's around you that's protecting you. And it's not necessarily in a 911, you know, warning sense, but just to let you know that you're being guided and you're being helped, you know, on the other side. And, you know, as sometimes I think it's also to just keep you in the now. You know, we get so our mind, and especially with you driving, your mind probably wanders, you know, every so often. And those goosebumps kind of keep us in this now that we often forget. We're going into the past, we're going into the future, and it's like, oh, hey, someone's touching me, or I'm feeling the goosebumps, and you have to stay in that present moment.
Wow, yeah. No, that's, how would I be able to, like, find out, like, exactly what they're trying to tell me? Or, like, what would be a good question to just ask?
So you can then utilize, since there's a touch, you know, since you're actually having the sensory part of it, and that's what they're utilizing, and that's what you're picking up on, then you go one step further, and then you validate, I'm feeling the goosebumps, I'm feeling the energy around, but, and I like to teach in my psychic development classes what's called red light, green light, or you can utilize it with your body. So if you're visual, you can say, kind of go through the different steps of, if you're this person, show me a red light in my mind's eye. If you're this person, or if you're not that person, show me a red light. If you are this person, show me a green light. Or you can do it with your stomach. Like, I get the feeling in my stomach when it's a no, and in my head I kind of get that spiny, tingly feeling for a yes. You can do that too. Or is there something that I need to know? If you're getting a yes, then you continue with that line of questions. But you have to give them, it's sort of like Morse code. You have to give them a signifier as to what it translates into, to which way. And then once you build that communication up, it becomes almost instinctful.
Christy, what about in the dream state to communicate with the other side? I've always been told that's a perfect place to be.
Oh, they love to do that in the dream state because it's like you're meeting them halfway. And the problem is most of the time we're not sleeping well enough to meet them halfway, but they try their darndest to do that. So there's a difference between just having a dream, and then there's a difference between having that visit. And those visits tend to be like amazingly real. and so vivid that like 10 years later, you can still, you know, see and feel and experience all parts of that visit. And so they communicate with us in our waking state, obviously, but we try to control it. And in the sleep state, they're given the control of it, and the roadblocks aren't necessarily there.
Next up, we go to Keith in Rochester, New York. Hi, Keith. Go ahead.
Yes. In life, we are expected to put up with much pain and loss, and I've always wondered why we humans, us mere mortals, were not given greater powers of understanding and insight into what we have to go through life. It has to be stated evenly that our faculties of understanding are drastically limited for many people. There's no chestnut that says God never gives anyone something they can't handle, but I think adults know that that's really not the case, and humans have to go through life sometimes in much misery, and we see no end to it, and I've just wondered why it's so open-ended and why the divine did not ground us better and just make us better prepared, better armored, better suited up to face what we're expected to.
Interesting question. Christy, what do you think?
Oh, gosh, isn't that the truth? I often, you know, will hear people say everything happens for a reason. You know, you're going through this tough thing and there's a lesson in it and everything happens for a reason. And especially if you've dealt with the loss of something or someone, I call bull crap on that a lot of times. You know, I don't believe that, you know, there's a reason for that. I think sometimes things just stink. And so I don't go too much in the new agey aspect of that. So I'm right with him on that. I do think that we are given lessons though, and we are made strong to go through these lessons, to broaden our own horizons, and to take the gifts that we're given and appreciate them more with gratitude than if we were handed, you know, an amazing life and not know what that pain has, you know, feels like. And on the other side, we're given that amazing, you know, element of spectacular, and if we were given it here, we wouldn't look forward to it on the other side so much. So there's a balance, and I do believe that the whole metaphysical element of we are a magnet, we attract what we put out, and so when we go through that so-called bad luck, we attract more of that bad luck, and if it's working on how to, like, take that function away of kind of being that magnet to joy and being that magnet to positivity. And it's tough.
Is there a devil?
So I believe that there is a God light, and I believe that there is a devil light, and it's love and it's hate, and you can't love and hate at the same time. And those are the choices that we have. And I think that we have that within each one of us. We have the choice whether we want to embrace that darker side or that lighter side.
Tell us about what you say about deathbed visions and that phenomena about healing the living and the dying.
Oh, my gosh. So if you've ever witnessed somebody passing away, a lot of times, or even somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia, this kind of plays with it as well. Oftentimes, they will be communicating with the other side before they cross over, or they'll look in the corner and they'll be talking to somebody who had long been gone. And so often, you know, again, we're a seeing as believing type of a, you know, humanistic behavior. We want to make sense out of what there is sense in that. We call it nonsense. And so we are gifted that visitation from our loved ones as we do this. You know, the death draws near, the passing draws near, and we have these experiences or visits or visions from our friends and relatives who've crossed over. So oftentimes when we're having those deathbed visions or we're witnessing that, they have their foot in two worlds at that time. And those that have dementia, Alzheimer's, often have or some sort of neurological element. And I think at one point there's going to be a scientific, they're going to be able to prove that. But they're kind of bordering, you know, the different timelines.
Let's go to Bill in Youngstown, Ohio. Welcome to the program, Bill.
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
All right. Thank you. I hope you are, too.
I'm doing great. I've tried to get through so many times, George, and Christy caught my attention real quick here on the way home from work, and I really don't have a question as much as just a quick story.
Sure. Go ahead.
And I wanted to hear what you maybe had to think of it.
Sure.
I had a friend a couple years ago, relatively young, in his 40s, who had a heart attack and died.
Oh, jeez.
And he was a big texting guy. He was the kind of guy that would drive you crazy texting you, and you know, to the point where, oh, come on, Moose, you gotta stop.
And if you don't respond, he's going, hello, are you there? Hello?
Right. Yeah. Right. And if you do respond, then he's coming at you. Or he'll call you, one of those.
I've got a couple of those friends, too, though, but I get that.
But I love the guy. I love him.
Sure.
So I'm riding. I'm working out of town, and we're going on about a 4 or 5 hour trip, and it's raining. I mean, like, you can't see. And my crew and I are just talking about different things, and you know, the different topics come up, and we're talking about ghosts and this and that, and the one person says, yeah, heck yes, I believe in ghosts. I mean, how can you be so close-minded that, you know, stuff like that doesn't exist or doesn't happen and isn't there?
Right.
And I said, me too. And, you know, I mean, I feel like I've had some goofy things happen to me and that are unexplainable. So we're riding about, you know, 5-10 minutes, and I hear my text thing, beep thing, go off. And I don't check it, but down the road we check it. And don't you know, I get a text from Moose. And I looked at this thing, and I told my buddy, I said, bud, this is from one of my good friends who died 2 years ago.
Oh, I love it.
And I opened it up, and there was no message, and it was addressed like several other messages that he would send out to a group text. And there was nothing there. It was just 8 or 10 of us that he sent. And I immediately called my brother. I said, hey, I just got a text from Moose. And he goes, ah, he's after you. And I said, ah, you know what I think? I believe this weather is so bad, he's telling me that he has my back.
Yeah.
And it was a scary, we couldn't even hardly drive. And I just felt like, man, Moose is there. He has my back during this terrible rainstorm. And he let me know it.
I love that.
Well, and that was his personality, too. So when we go to the other side, we don't shift our personality. Our personality is our personality. It's part of our soul and spirit. So if he was that type of would do anything for anybody, and that's the feeling that I get out of him, then, you know, absolutely he's the one supporting you from the other side as well and just saying, hey, you know, be careful, watch out. You know, I'm helping you as well. And I love that you guys are talking about ghosts. And then all of a sudden he texts you. He's like, heck yeah, it
thanks
exists.
For that story.
Yeah.
is it, you believe in reincarnation, Christy?
I actually do, and I believe that we have that free will, free choice as well. I don't think that we're shot out of a cannon immediately as we cross over, or that we're sent back in a form of punishment.
Right.
I think that we've got a choice, you know, whether we want to come back and sort of learn some other lessons. I don't know why. That's a question that I'm going to have when I cross over.
So,
I don't know why, but we do.
When spirit reincarnates, does that mean that it ends one's ability to communicate with the spirit up from the other side? Case in point, let's just say your loved one was communicating with you, but, you know, after a few earth weeks, reincarnates, is that soul gone now, or can you still communicate with it?
It gets a little bit complicated because you can soul split, so you can leave a piece of yourself on the other side, sort of you become that Wi-Fi, you know, on the other side, and they can still kind of have a piece of communication, but it's not that whole. Soul splits are complicated too, because a lot of them Those that soul split, who are those old souls that are here, often have really difficult lives. And they sometimes end up committing suicide or being very manically depressed or bipolar because they don't feel whole, and they're not, because they left a piece of themselves on the other side. So it's those types that are always giving of themselves to everybody and not knowing how to say no.
Next up, we go to Dory in Norwalk, Connecticut. Hi, Dory. Thank you.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
This was very interesting, Christy, that you brought up about Alzheimer's, because my question kind of relates to that. I was wondering, my mother passed away this past September of Alzheimer's, and it runs in my family. And one of the things that I've always been curious about, when a soul does cross over, how does their soul respond? Are they given back their minds when they pass over? Are they in that Alzheimer's state when they pass over and they remain there? That was my question.
Sure. So, one, I'm so sorry for your loss. That's a horrible disease. It's so tough to see somebody experience that. And the way that I'm going to generalize it, but the way that I've seen those that have fought with that disease, is I do feel like they're kind of going between the different worlds. And so when they have their moments of clarity in the now, they're here, but oftentimes when they're fuzzy, a lot of times they're actually experiencing that heaven, and they're just waiting for that chance to sort of break that chain, or they feel like she might have felt like she didn't want to leave you, you know, kind of guilt, so she kind of stayed, you know, as much. But when they cross over, they end up getting everything back. So somebody who might have been, you know, had lost a leg, they are whole again. Someone who had some mental issues, they are whole again. And that is sort of what I call purgatory, because they, again, feel like it's a healing room. So we go there to sort of heal, get rejuvenated. And I actually love your mom. She's kind of feisty. There's also a male that's with her, too. He's clean-shaven, really good-looking guy. And he's got this gentle, you know, spirit. And for some reason, your mom's mad at him. So I don't know if it's dad energy or if it's her dad energy. But they show that there's a little bit of, like, mom could hold a little bit of grudge, you know, and she could be a little bit tough, but she's so caring and considerate. And have you felt the signs with her around? It's been
actually
like a blink of an eye since she's been gone.
It's very interesting that you say that. So there's one other question after that. But, yes, I did have a situation where a fire alarm that's in my house that never works started beeping. And every time I would walk underneath it, it would stop. I'd go back in the kitchen.
That's not a weak battery. That's something else, right?
Right.
No, I put new batteries in. I had just put new batteries in.
Yeah, and that's definitely a sign. And I've had people that have said there were no batteries in it, and it was beeping.
And Dora, you had another question, but we'll get to it right after the break in our final segment just ahead with Christy Robinette, author of Messages from a Wonderful Life and Tales from the Afterlife. And don't forget to like us on Facebook, if you will. Follow us on Twitter. Email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, Christy Robinette with us, of course, and Christy's books, a number of them, Messages from a Wonderful Afterlife and Tales from the Afterlife as well. When did you get involved in writing about the pets, Christy?
I did it a couple of years ago, and I kept feeling like a fraud, actually, because I kept saying, I'm not a pet psychic. And my publisher, Llewellyn, said, you know what, you talk about pets in all your books, and you think that you really need to just write a book specific to animals. And I kind of wrestled with it, and we argued a bit back and forth in a loving way. And they said, just write a couple chapters. And they're like, okay, yep, we're printing this. So I'm super happy that I did. I'm so excited.
And I bet that sold well, didn't it?
Well, it doesn't. Well, the other books have sold. I've been number one on Amazon, which is amazing.
Sure.
Tales doesn't come out until March, but we've got.
Oh, really? I have an advance, huh?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, if you got it, I don't even have it. George,
I've got it. It's a dog, and he's got a parrot on his hind.
Yeah, I don't even have it. So good for you.
And you've got
I'm excited.
You got a pug. You've got a rabbit and a cat.
Yep.
How about that? All right, let's go back to Dory in Norwalk, Connecticut. She had one more question for you. Go ahead, Dory.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much. The other question I had is, when we pass on, does a person have an opportunity to choose the way or the form in which they come back where you, the psychic person, can see them? For example, when you said tall, handsome man, young, whatever, can a person choose? Do they come back, or you see them in the state that they died in, or can they show themselves younger?
So I typically, they show the way that they passed away for validation purposes, and then they typically will show themselves at their healthiest and happiest. So if dad was happier when he was 25 years old, he will flash and show me how old he was when he passed away, and then he'll show himself in his healthiest state.
Why do they do that?
I almost feel like we're kind of vain, even on the other side. So we want to look our best, because I've had people come through and say, hey, let them know that I was bald when I passed, but I've got a head full of hair now.
Or maybe they come back at a time that they enjoyed themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, Sylvia Brown used to say everyone was 35. You know, when you cross over, everyone is 35. And we used to laugh back and forth. And I'm like, Sylvia, I think that was your happiest time. That wasn't everybody's happiest time.
Oh, Sylvia, God rest her soul. You know, I bounced her off the show. Did you know that?
You did.
Yeah.
Feisty.
We were doing a show, and it was when some minors were trapped.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into it now. It's all over the web. But she was wrong in her prediction and changed her mind like within minutes. And I,
her and I worked on a police case together, and the police contacted her and they contacted me, and she said, you know, he's dead. And I said, no, he's not.
Was that Sean Hornbeck?
Sylvia? It was.
Yeah. We know that case from Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah.
She screwed that one up.
I faxed them a map, and I said, this is where he is, and you have to hurry because somebody else's life is at stake. And it ended up, you know, not that I was right, because I don't believe that it's a right or wrong, and I give law enforcement complete, you know, love, because they're the ones working their tails off. But, so she was really mad at me because I kept saying, nope, don't listen to her.
Yeah. No, she actually told the parents he's dead.
I know.
Just that blunt, and the kid was found alive. So,
horrible.
So I just made the decision. You know, there are some psychics that will make it to the show. There are others that won't. And after she had been on the show, she wasn't on our program as much as she was on Montel's TV show.
Right.
But I just got to a point where I said, you know, too many inaccuracies. And
she charged
a ridiculous high price for
people,
and I just didn't want that.
And that's why I wrote the books too, George, because I see these, you know, TV mediums that are charging ridiculous amounts of money, and it's a cash grab, and I'm not thrilled with that at all. And you have to pay our bills too, you know. But
don't gouge people.
Don't do that. No, don't do that.
Let's go to Brandon, Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. Hey, Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure, Brandon. Thank you.
The question I have is, back in 2009, my best friend Jarrett passed away suddenly at age of 28 with a heart attack.
Oh, God.
And I got the phone call the morning of, and, you know, I went all day upset, depressed. I mean, we were almost like brothers. And that night, my brother and I had sat down, and this is back when MySpace was still a big thing compared to Facebook. And we were making a memorial page in honor of him. And I had my cell phone at the time sitting next to the keyboard on the desk. And the cell phone vibrates, says text message from Jarrett. And I open the phone, it's blank. And so at the time, I knew his mom had the phone.
Thinking maybe she did it or something,
and
right?
And I thought, maybe she's going through his phone trying to find contacts. And I said, Barb, is this you? And 10 minutes go by, and my brother and I are still going through MySpace. And another text message, blank again.
Wow.
And at this time, I had dropped the phone. I mean, I was freak him out. I mean, here we are. We're putting a page together in honor of him.
And then he was texting.
And I'm getting two messages from him. And nothing like that has happened since. But I've always wondered, was that his way of saying hi or I'm okay? And I've had dreams since then with him in it. And also my grandparents who passed away that are sometimes in my dreams. And in the dreams, I see their faces. I know it's them, but I never hear their voices. So that's kind of a two-part question. You know, was it text him? And in the dreams, why do I mean, is it because I forget what their voices sound like, or do they choose not to speak?
That's a great question. I was just asked that the night before at an event that I did. And that was the first time I've ever heard anyone ask that question. So you're the second one in two nights. No coincidences. That was absolutely him, you know, thanking you for doing that memorial for him, you know, in his honor. So, and I think that he comes through in different ways. You know, a lot of times become almost greedy. You know, like, well, we got a text message, we want another one, or we want a call, or we want another visit. And it takes an awful lot of energy. And they're busy on the other side. They actually do jobs on the other side. They do things. So, you know, that is a gift.
Is it possible, Christy, that Brandon, who missed his friend so much, manifested that phone to send a text message to himself?
No, I actually think that it's sort of like the bat signal went out to the other side.
All right.
And his friend, you know, caught that signal that he needed to know that he was okay and gave him that kind of goosebumpy, you know, type of a sign. I think that we can sometimes make it fit, and we can, you know, sometimes, you know, overthink it and create it the way that we want or manifest it ourselves. But I actually don't think that in this case. And the second question was not being able to hear them talk.
In his dream state.
And a lot of times that's actually connected to your own exhaustion. So they are trying to communicate, but they do it in a more of a clairvoyant way. And because you're exhausted, so I'm kind of blaming you, because you're exhausted, because there's a restlessness within your soul, they have a hard time of actually connecting. So next time that happens, try, like, in your dream state, in that visit state, say, okay, I'm going to relax my mind and I'm going to hear you, or show me something, and then build that communication that way.
Okay, now we go back to the phones. Let us go to Annie in Alabama. Hi, Annie, go ahead.
Thank you,
sure,
Christy. I would like to talk to you about some new evidence, which I have discovered through photographs, which JonBenet Ramsey communicated to me, which they overlooked. However, first, I would like to ask you, have you tried out the new software that's been out for at least 15 years that has like 500,000 different combinations of eyes, nose, mouth, hairlines, ears, and all that you can use to put together a composite of someone? And if it's not exactly right, then you can get a psychic artist to touch it up a little bit. Have you tried any of that?
I wouldn't call it new software if it's been around for 15 years.
Yeah, it's probably old software, but maybe utilized more now or updated now, right?
Maybe so. I don't know. Have you used something like that?
No. I tend to use no technology. And even if somebody comes for a session with me, or even if the police come to me with a case, I don't want to see anything, maybe a photo, but I really don't want to delve into the technology, because for some reason it kind of messes with my own energy. And it sort of fragments my own energy. So I've never utilized that, no. So you're saying that you've connected with this with regards to the JonBenet Ramsey case. I actually have a connection with that case as well, because there's a Michigan tie to JonBenet.
What's that tie-in?
They actually resided here in the Michigan area, and he worked
before he moved out to Boulder.
Yeah, so this is really his kind of hometown.
About a year ago, I was doing my TV shows in Boulder, Colorado, Christy, and we came across the driver, and he said, oh, look, by the way, this is the JonBenet Ramsey house. And you look at the house from the outside, thinking of what had happened down in the basement, and it's eerie as all get up. I mean, just eerie. Strange.
I just don't understand. And there's I've talked to law enforcement with regards to that. They've never brought me on the case because I think that there's so much and there's grand jury things that are still connected with it. And it's so sensitive, you know, any case that revolves around a child, you know, that has that and there's no resolve with it is just horrific. It's just horrific.
Let's go to Frank in Sherman Oaks, California. Frank, go ahead, sir.
Yes, thank you. Two questions. One, how do you can communicate with someone from the other side if they don't speak English? And two, if I talk to the picture of that person who passed away, if I talk to them, would that help me to communicate? Thank you.
All right. They don't speak. The other side doesn't speak English. How do you communicate with them?
So there's a universal language. And
it's like telepathy, isn't it?
It is. And they show me pictures. And I actually, there's been times where I speak, I really wish that I took more foreign language, you know, in school, and I didn't, you know, now I think of that, but,
I took 2 years of Spanish.
Well, that's not too, I had 2 years of German and I still only know how to count. So there's that. But I think that, they've actually given me words that I've been able to kind of translate badly, you know, with what they're saying, and they've been able to translate them. But yeah, they show me the universal language that is through a telepathic.
And he wanted to know if you stare at a picture of somebody who was dead, might you be able to communicate with them? Interesting take, huh? Never heard of that before.
No, I think some people use that in a sense of psychometry even. But I think that you can do it in a visual. If you're not visual, sure, a photograph could possibly, you know, assist with that because the memories can be stirred through that sensory element.
Let's go to Joanne in Littleton, Colorado. Joanne, go ahead. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. How can I connect with my pet that got lost about a year ago?
Oh, my goodness. I am dealing with that. My best friend's dog just disappeared last night. And that is, again, you know, so horrific when you lose, you know, a missing pet. So that is really difficult. So the energy of the way that I connect with people, whether it's missing people or those on the other side, are different than with an animal. So I actually always go to the archangels and I go with the saints and I always ask them to help me with messages.
Do they always help? Are they always there for you?
I would say that they're 99.9% reliable, and that other, you know, piece of that percentage is connected to me not connecting with them, not them connecting with me.
Christine, in dealing with the psychic realm, if something horrible was going to happen, tragic, would you know about it?
I often get those premonitions, and I did before 9/11. I actually was on a plane to New York the weekend before 9/11. And I had a horrific feeling, and I ended up going to the flight attendant and said, something weird is about to happen.
Oh, man,
and
they don't like to hear that. Then they think there's something wrong with you, right?
But you know what? Thankfully, they didn't. Thankfully, she actually listened to me, and she goes, you know what? I'm feeling that, too. And we ended up having some interesting characters on our plane that I still feel like was a dry run.
Interesting.
And they just didn't take it from Detroit.
Interesting take. I wonder if that was the same plane that ended up leaving from Boston or wherever.
It most certainly could have been. It was a very,
and you felt those vibes on that plane.
Yeah, exactly. It was sort of like that energy connect was wavering in that plane. It was pretty frightening.
If you want people to communicate with the other side, what's the best way to do it?
The best way is to play and take 5 to 10 minutes a day and just meditate, shut down everything technological, and just talk to them in your head, out loud. Keep building that bridge to the other side, but you need to shut down.
And Christy, as we wrap it up, why don't you give out your website again and where folks can get your books?
Thanks so much for having me, George. I appreciate it. Sure. My website is ChristyRobinette.com. And my books are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. My publisher is Llewellyn. You can get them there. Target has many of my books. And Books A Million, pretty much any place books are sold.
You got it. Christy, thanks again. Keep in touch with us. Let's not let 5 years go by this time.
Perfect. Thank you so much again. I appreciate it. Have a magical holiday.
You got it. Christy's website's, of course, all linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Tomorrow night, Whitley Strieber joins us talking about how he wrote a book with his late wife, Anne, while she was on the other side. And then we've got a couple hours of those Friday night and the Saturday morning open lines. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.